you probably want to clap at the end of it because the way it ends. It's a great movie, and I advise you to do that. A couple of things on the big screen that you'll know about. Something that's not Living Faith Closing Closet. You can invite your friends, family. You can come as a congregation and so forth as a church member. Every first Saturday of the month, we kind of switched up the times. We want to make sure that you know about it. Also on the outside are these real cool bling t-shirts that you can order. And they're right outside that door. And money goes towards that also for our clothing closet building that we're believing God for. Is that good? Yeah? A couple of things on the big screen. Thanksgiving was really Thanksgiving this past Wednesday. We did Be the Church, and Linda Ziegler and Leonard led that ministry. They produced these beautiful baskets, and we helped out a little bit, but they had it all ready for us. And the church really came together by their finances, by giving turkeys and by giving canned goods. And they were blessed beyond measure. Those of you who had the opportunity to go to the different houses on Wednesdays, it was just one of those things, those bright moments that we get, and thank God for it. Amen. We do evangelism here. We do outreach here because we love God, and we're reaching out to the community because we represent Jesus to our community, right, everybody? We're not going to stay within the four walls. Again, this is just halftime. The real game, the real church is on the outside of the four walls. Amen. Church isn't here. It's when we leave the building. Is that okay with everybody? And finally, the last thing we want to tell you because of our time, and that Irma and I just want to wish you a blessed Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. We won't see you probably till next Sunday, of course. And we just want to say from the bottom of our hearts, we're going to have a great turkey celebration and that sort of thing, along with you and your family and that sort of thing. But God bless you and have a blessed Thanksgiving. Amen. You and your family, enjoy the day. Thank God for it. Do you have your message notes? Do you need them? If you need them, raise your hand high. You maybe came in through the back way, through the side doors, and through the roof. 100%? No one need, everybody has them? Yeah? Would you show them to me? Because I don't believe y'all the way y'all look at me. Okay, good. Now I believe you. Good. Now I believe you. Good. Oh, ye of little faith, right? Doubting Mario? All right, let's welcome our first-time guest. You're in the house for the very first time. But we're going to applaud you. So bless people that are here. You came back after a month, 2 months, amen. We've missed you. We've noticed that you've been out, and thank God that you're home again, amen. We are Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, and we thank God for you. The At The Movie series that we're in for the next 2 weeks is, some people have asked me, why are y'all showing movies in church? And really, if you look at it in the Old Testament, there's no movies back then. In the New Testament, there's no movies back then, but because they didn't have movie theaters, right, everybody? They rode around in their dinosaurs. No, what happened in the Old Testament, New Testament, especially in the New Testament, Jesus told parables, and it was a form of entertainment in their lives that they could grasp, and it was their motion picture. And Jesus always had a significant meaning when he told the story of the prodigal son or the seeds that were laying into the soil that had good brown and bad ground because of the environment. That in every point that he had with the story that he told, he had a spiritual application. And so we're looking at today's culture and we're applying spiritual messages to the messages that we're proclaiming from the movies today. I think if Jesus was walking the earth today, I'm not quite sure if he would do church this way, but I know that he would take the sources of his culture and apply them to what we need to be doing and walking in today. We would give a spiritual meaning to what was happening today. So I want to unpack spiritual truths from the movie Hidden Figures today. And it's no better time. This is the greatest time to invite somebody to church because many of them have seen movies like this. It's a non-threatening atmosphere most of the time in church. And you can see Hidden Figures today. So there's an incredible true story that this is based on, not make-believe. Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson. They were brilliant African-American women that worked for NASA. But they were in the shadows because of the time of the 60s and the culture. There were the colored-only restrooms that they labeled outside. And so those were the only ones that they could go to in NASA. And there's discrimination, even not only three women, but it was a man's world. And so the men that worked there got the bigger paychecks, even though the women worked just as hard. Ladies, has that changed much? And you're probably looking at me and you want to say amen back about cold. Not only did they break barriers, color barriers, but they broke the stereotype barriers of gender because they were just as smart as the men. And so they pursued their passions. They pursued their giftings that they had within them. And they went forward and they became heroes. Nobody knew of them. And if it wouldn't have been for the previous administration giving, I believe, Katherine Johnson the Medal of Freedom when she was 97 years old, many of us still hadn't heard of her anyway. And so she deserves that and what she was given. In February of 1962, John Glenn was strapped inside a capsule. But on top of that, what was taking him up was this missile that was firing up that wasn't going to blow up, but was going to break away so he could break the barriers of Earth and space gravity. And it was traveling like 17,000 miles an hour to break that gravity. It was easy to get him up because we had done that in the past with missiles, but we'd never done it with a man on top of a missile riding. And what was tricky about it, and the story shows this, was it's okay to go up, but how do we bring them safely back down? Because what goes up, we never saw it come back down. How do you bring a man back? And so we're in this space race with the Soviet Union during this time, and it shows it in the movie. And whoever gets to space first as a man, because they'd already done it with a dog, whoever breaks that barrier first, well, whoever does that, they have bragging rights. They have the ability to say, we're the first. And so it sets something in history. Now, maybe history would have looked a little bit different if we wouldn't have gotten into space first or been that first man on the moon. And these three ladies are so integral in doing that today. And Catherine produces this math equation of literally saying, this is how we bring him back down safely. When the computers don't line up, and by the way, computers back then, they weren't the things that you have in your hand or on your laptop or so forth. They were literally people, and they were called computers. Bring the computers in, and there were these ladies, these African-American ladies that filed back in. You remember the story, right? And when it didn't line up with the IBM computer that they put in there, they called in. John Glenn said, before I go up, I want to make sure that it's right, so bring that smart lady, which was Katherine John, bring her back in, and we'll make sure that it's set. And she checked it out and ran through all the figures, and Ms. Vaughn said, yes, John, you can go up now. And he went up, and he landed near Bermuda, they say, and they picked him up there, and he was the first man. And so history was made by these hidden figures. And I kind of want to tell you about the scripture, because it talks about these people that are kind of in the shadows spiritually, and here we apply God's word. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 3, not in your handout, but on the big screen. Therefore, we are surrounded by, somebody say, a great cloud of witnesses. That means there's some essence there. There's people there. There's something going on of humanity. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Somebody say, throw off everything that hinders us. And the sin that so easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance. Somebody say, perseverance. The race marked out for us. God has a race just for you that He's marked out. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's real important. Fixing my eyes on Jesus. Right, everybody? Yeah. And so the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And the joy that was set before our Jesus, He endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God the Father there, the throne. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart today. And so the author of Hebrews keeps illustrating here with us of life is really not this sprint, but it's really a journey. It's an ultra marathon. It's a marathon that you're going to have to keep on going. I was talking to Elaine probably about a month ago, and she's a fellow bike rider, and she rides the Green Belt. And she says, I love doing the riding of my bike because it's not like doing gymnastics. It's like doing gymnastics because you can pause, catch your wind, and then, you know, book it, get in third gear or fourth gear, and just keep on going because it brings you I believe that life is like a long bike ride, that you're just not going to sprint towards a finish, a long marathon that you just keep going and going. You catch your wind, you hit a hill that you got to climb up a little bit sometimes, but you keep pushing it and you make it to the top of the hill, and it's fun to go down the hill. Those are good times, but you won't always be cruising downhill. Do y'all know that in life today? It takes some endurance today. And so the passage here in Hebrews is saying, really, you got to participate in this thing called life. Your spiritual life today. You got to be athletes spiritually training just as much as you train in the natural for something like that. God would want you to keep on going forward today. Life is going to offer many people in this room, like it has in my life and your life here. Second service is coming. Struggle and resistance, going uphill like it seems the rest of your life. But I thank God that you have the ability today, because it's proven in God's Word, just like our Jesus, that you have this thing called endurance and perseverance, and you keep going forward today. Thank God for that gift of endurance. I don't really have, some people look and say, well, how did you do this? What did y'all do to get a building like this? I said, I really don't know, man. All I know is I just kept showing up, and I kept doing life with people that wouldn't quit, and we just kept going on, and we kept moving forward. We weren't the most talented bunch, were we? Don't get all smart on yourself. No, we don't have it together. But one thing that you can prove, and this is everybody that has this gift, you don't have to quit. You don't have to quit in life. You don't have to quit on your marriage. You don't have to quit by an attitude today. You can keep going forward. And God, watch God move when you don't quit. There's this thing called endurance today. There's this thing that I see about lifestyle, and it's faith. And if it's a faith, then it, again, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon that we run with God that set it out before us today. Amen. God has given every one of us in this room a chance to represent Him as Christians today. In your workplace, in your home, in your church, it's easy. But how about in your neighborhood? Young people in your school, you represent Christ today. You run the race when everyone else is backbiting, when everyone else is gossiping. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do that. And everyone else is doing that in the hallway. You can keep going forward. You're the body of Christ, and you should be about the Father God's business everywhere you go in this world today. So there's hidden stories that happen, not only in this church. If you saw all the behind-the-scenes thing that happened just to get us to this point on Sunday morning, you would say they're the real heroes, because they vacuumed on Saturday night. They set up everything. They made sure our cars were secure in the parking lot. Nobody sees them. They're teaching our children. They're getting the facility ready and building one for that to happen today. Do you understand? Those are the hidden figures at Living Faith Church that really maybe don't get any applause, but they're the ones that, if we didn't have them, how would we do church if nobody took care of our children? How would we do church if everybody's breaking into cars out there? Not you guys, but the bad guys, right, everybody? Nobody's going to break into a car here. Nobody? No. All right, good. Y'all are all... Yeah, and thank God for it. The main verse that it keeps saying, this overriding theme was saying, don't quit, have endurance. Amen? And so this day, you've heard the word of the Lord to keep running after your destiny. Keep pursuing what God's call. It's the run of your life today, but you will do it. I'm going to give you three spiritual applications that you can have. Real quick, here we go. Number one, not real quick, but probably I'll take 2 hours, but we can do this thing, right, everybody? You can be here for 2 hours, right, everybody? Yeah, okay, number one. I'm messing with you. You know you're scared right now. Number one, he might do it. No, I have to let loose. That's why y'all get loose and you get to go. Second service is coming. Y'all are smart. You know the second service is going to start, right? So he has to finish eventually. Number one, that's why I came, amen. You're a lot nicer for the first service, amen. Number one is this: what of you? You're standing on the shoulders of greatness. All of us in this room, the first thing that he found out when the author of Hebrews said, therefore, we stand in such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? And the witnesses are people that have gone before us and have made room for us and let us stand on their shoulders and say, you can get a better view now because of all the work that I've done. My dad, your parents maybe, people that have gone before you, people that have made a way for you. They're an example. There's human aspect of just humanity that are all around you and saying, you can make it today. You can do those things that I didn't get to do because I'm pushing you forward. In Hebrews 11:1, in your handout today, so let's go ahead and read it out loud, not out soft, on three. One, two, three, go. Faith is what makes real things that we hope for. It's proof of what we cannot see. God is pleased with people who lived because their faith was like this. And it defines faith right there. It's a substance, confident expectation of something that you can't see in the natural. But faith is this sense, just like the eye that you see right there, the exit sign and that basket and the beautiful people of Living Faith Church. But eyes of faith, see, I don't see it in the natural, but I have this confident expectation that one day, if you're single in here, I'm going to get married. And if you're married in here, you have this confident expectation, one day we're going to stay married, amen? We're not going to separate, amen? You know, at Living Faith Church, if you're single, we want you to be married, amen? Give me a good amen. Yeah, and then if you get married, we want you to stay married. Give me a good amen. We'll help you in both. Give me a good amen. Yeah, and so faith enabled even the people of old that in the Old Testament that this Hebrew writer wrote about in chapter 11 that that they would go forward because they didn't see everything God had promised them, just like God's promised you some things of abundance, of being debt-free, of having a ministry, of being able to be used by God. Hold on to your promise. Hold on by endurance today. There are shoulders that we stand on today as Christians. Two humans that I'm standing on today that are with Jesus are my two pastors that really had a big mark on my life. My pastor, Luis Garcia, that I told you about that we met off Couples Road in that house church off Escuela Street. He was the first man that believed in me and that let me preach. He kind of taught me, this is the way you preach, but he kind of didn't. And all we did was to know and be a disciple and go to church as a young man, a teenager. And I would go and I would listen and I would soak up everything I could during that time. I wasn't perfect. You know what? I learned some things from my pastor. And I learned some things on what not to do and what to do. And if I remember all the things of what not to do, boy, I would get bitter about what some of the things that were spoken by him to me and that hurt me and I could have a thumb-sucking party with everybody in this room about the past. But I choose to look at what he left as an example, the man that he was, the example, the man of faith that he was, just like you have to, right? The second pastor, his name was Pastor Fred Zumalt. And that was the first pastor that gave Irma and I a paycheck to doing ministry. All that time, I'd worked for free, volunteered, and I was already I was about to turn 30, I think. We hadn't had any children, and he hired us. And right when we got there, Irma got pregnant. I don't know how she got pregnant, but she got pregnant. No health insurance, none of that, man. We were on this thing, and we lived by faith. But both those men, again, I had some bad leadership at times. Well, tell me about it. No, that's gossip. But I had some great leadership that I want to emphasize today that just made the way for me. And I stand on both of those men's shoulders and I'm able to go further than they ever went because of their example in my life. They're looking down from heaven, I believe. They're cheering me on a little bit. If I want to extend the theology that way, you may disagree or not. But I just thank God for their example in my life. You have those examples too. It could have been a mother or father. You're the example in the making for somebody. Someone's counting on you. They're looking at you even right now. And they're not wanting to be disappointed by your example. There are countless people that are watching you right now, and you have no. We have these cameras, amen. They're watching you, amen. And I can participate today in bringing the light of God into somebody's dark world if I'm the right example. Amen. Do you know that today? Amen. And so can you. There are hidden figures in the life of Christ. And there were these special ladies. Joanna's one of them, Mary of Magdalene, Mary his own mother, these Marys that come. And I left them in your handout today these were not even named at times, but boy, were they faithful. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 1. The 12 were with him, and we all know their names, Matthew, John, the sons of thunder. And it says also some women. And later on, it would go down and mention them. But you know what was unique about Jesus? Check this out, ladies, especially. Don't miss this. Jesus was the only rabbi during his time that didn't treat women like second-class citizens. He said, you can follow me. They didn't name them most of the time, but he allowed them to be in the company of followers because they were valuable to him. They had a gift that they could offer. And God wanted to express that gift. It was just a foreshadowing of what you could do today, all the ladies of faith that sit in this room. Did you know that today? And so, interesting here, all the enemies that Jesus had, check this out, I don't see any ladies. They were all men. Isn't that something? You ladies, man, thank God for you today. Amen. You're loyal. You're faithful today. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 40. Many of the other women had come up from Jerusalem were also there. And this is showing at the cross how Jesus crucified at his worst hour. They came up and they were standing in the shadows of the cross when all the rest of the disciples except for John had fled. They were the only ones near to Jesus during his point of death. Don't you want those sort of friends? Those are hidden figures again. Lady, what can you do right now in this room today to stay behind the scenes but to be real effective? In Luke chapter 24, the final scripture, 1 through 9 in context right there. Very early in the morning, somebody say early.
Early.
Yeah, in the morning, the women took spices. Jesus now in his tomb. They were the ones that approached the tomb and were there to make sure that everything was set in place today. I want you to have the view, because you're standing on the shoulders. Make room for somebody to one day stand on your shoulders. Don't give up on your witness, especially for the moms and dads who are in this room today. You may say, well, my mom and dad never did that for me. Well, you can be the new generation. Speak about that in a moment. The second thought is this. What's a few extra pounds? Come on. Give me a good amen. You haven't gone to the gym. It got cold. You don't want to go outside anymore. Amen. Ride that bike or walk the neighborhood. Thank God Thanksgiving's coming. We can cheat on one day. One meal is not going to kill us. It's the meal that we have every day that kills us, right? I'm going to get off the soapbox here. We'll pray and fast in January. Is that okay with everybody? That's a weak amen, but I'll take it. And nobody even said amen. Lay aside the weights and the sins. Amen. The author of Hebrews is saying right here, you lay aside everything that would encumber you and tie you down and entangle you, because you can't run a race, a long distance race, with something holding you back. Imagine if I ran a marathon at a track meet. How would it be if I had this heavyweight backpack on me today? If a child was in this room, I would put him on my back and walk around with him and see how effective I would be to preach. Because I would forget about all my notes. I would forget about all the stuff that I'd studied this week. Because I would be more worried about, man, it's heavy. Come on, Caleb, you can get on my back right now. I'm just joking. Caleb's the youngest one here, I think. Amen. Anyway, can you imagine? Caleb would carry me, right, everybody? The runners of that day, when they ran the race, the Greek runners that the Hebrew writer spoke about, they would literally disrobe. They would take off everything, and they would run naked. Feet and all, man. They didn't. But today we run with these featherlight sneakers. We run with this second skin armor, Under Armour stuff that we have, because we want to run without any encumbrance, anything wind resistant stuff. It makes our day when we run and exercise, because we don't want anything to set us back in the natural. Jesus is saying to us this at this very hour, living faith. Don't let anything entangle you. Don't let bitterness get on you, because it will be this thing that you're holding. Don't let anger get on you. Don't let pride get on you. Don't let the past get on. Don't let someone else's example get on you. You got to get the example of, I'm running towards my race and God has set something. I'm going to endure this thing. I'm going to have the right witness today. If I'm stealing second base or running the 100-yard dash, I'm going to sprint. But if I'm running a marathon, I'm in this thing for the long haul. I got to endure. I got to keep running. Marriage is that way. You know, they talk about the marriage, about, man, we always argue. You know what makes a marriage successful after 40 years, 50 years? What I've been told? They just endure. Not that they outlast each other. They just make it through. And sooner or later, those little things, he never picks up after himself. She never does this or never does that. You stop griping because they're so small in the aspect of life. Boy, it's weak in this church, but I'll take that. You're preaching good, Mario. Thank you. I'll take that amen today. In 1983, some of you weren't even born during that time, but I was. And there's this Australian ultra marathon from Sydney, Australia to Melbourne. And what happens is it's like 600 miles, so it's night and day that they run this. It's an ultra marathon. And this guy that's a sheep herder, take care of sheep, he's 61 years old. His name is Cliff Young. history records a story. And he runs this ultra marathon. He had trained a little bit, and he wasn't just getting in there. It's not this miracle story of him just deciding to run. He trains a little bit, but he never run competitively, never really won anything. And he begins to run the 600-mile marathon in Australia. And he invented this run, and it's kind of like this. Well, can I show it to you? I'm not, because you don't want me to show it to you. Y'all just looking at me like the cow looks at the new gate. I'll show it to the second service. I'm going to go on, okay? Because you missed your opportunity. Get me mad right now. So he runs this certain way that won't get he won't lose a lot of energy. It will help him endure. And he's real behind the first heap of guys that are running and running. And he's just way behind. He's way behind the first day. But one of the things that he does, because he just doesn't know any better, nobody told him, he doesn't go to sleep 600 miles. And he keeps running through the night. He runs for 5 days. And by the first night, because he runs through the night, he's past the field. They're all sleeping, tortoise and the hare. And he runs, and he breaks the record of the fastest run ever, not by dashing and running and veins popping out, by just running the race. And they call this thing that he does, it's called the Cliff Young Shuffle. Because he shuffles his feet and just goes along without really using a lot of energy, and he just endures it. It's a miracle what took place in his life, that a 61-year-old man could beat all these 20-something, these athletes in their prime, all because he just kept running and running and running. He endured. And so can you spiritually today, amen, and in life today. It says this in the Bible about running, because there's a team of people that will help, just like they help Cliff. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in the race all run, but only, somebody say one. Only one's going to get the prize. I'm going to win. No, I'm competitive. Well, you're going to get your prize if you run your race the right way. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the game exercises self-control in all things. Then when they do this, they receive a perishable wreath. That gold medal. Some of them have even taken it to the pawn shop. These guys that are falling on hard times, they've given away their Heisman Trophy to a pawn shop. But we are imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way, not without aim. I'm going to win in this thing. I box in such a way, not to beat the air, but I discipline my body and make it a slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. How's your life looking when you preach? Because you may never stand at a pulpit or sing with a microphone up here. You may never do any of that, but how's your life preaching to your family, your wife, your children? Mom, today, how's your life preaching in the neighborhood? How's the life of God going through your workplace? Because that's the preach that you preach. You don't want to be disqualified today. Well, I'm not perfect. I never claimed to be. Well, I'm not talking about that. They want to see your humanity. They want to see that you cry every now and then, but you have a hope and you keep enduring, because that's what's spiritual about you. You keep bouncing back. You keep going forward. You can't keep a good woman down. You can't keep a good man down. I'm going to show you two more clips real quick. I'm almost out of time, so I got to show you this clip. And Catherine has to go to the colored restrooms, and here's the struggle that she faces back in the 1960s and about how she's enduring.
Where the hell have you been? Everywhere I look, you're not where I need you to be. It's not my imagination. Now, where the hell do you go every day?
To the bathroom, sir.
To the bathroom. To the damn bathroom. For 40 minutes a day? What are you doing there?
We're T-minus zero here. I put a lot of faith in you.
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no colored bathrooms in this building, or any building outside the West Campus, which is half a mile away. Did you know that? I have to walk to Timbuktu just to relieve myself. And I can't use one of the handy bikes. Picture that, Mr. Harrison. My uniform, skirt below my knees, my heels, and a simple string of pearls. Well, I don't own pearls. Lord knows you don't pay colors enough to afford pearls. And I work like a dog, day and night, living off a coffee from a pot none of you want to touch. Excuse me if I have to go to the restroom a few times a day.
Some of you are facing unbelievable problems, and there's this endurance about running the race. Yesterday, Irma and I had the privilege and honor to pray for somebody that is really seeing his sister out. His sister's on the other side of heaven more than she's on this earth because how she's battled cancer for months and years now, years. And they're not here this morning because they're at the sister's bedside. I'm almost certain in another city far away they couldn't make it back. But that's an unbelievable problem to have when someone's about to pass away, and you know that suddenly they're passing away. Some of you are hurting in this room today, and problems cause a lot of pause in our lives. And when we get hit like that, we say, well, I'm going to pause right now. And that's okay. You're human, and I understand that. But you can't stay paused forever. Did you know that today? You got to keep going on today. Some of our senior adults, when I've talked to them at different venues and the different things that we've done, one of the most striking things about them that I've seen in their lives of how they endure, one told me this so beautifully, and this is just off my heart. They say, if I stay in my house, I'm just going to think about all the problems that I got. So I got to come. I come to church. I come to outside. I come to the place that I need to come to and get involved in life because I just don't want to stay where I'm just thinking about me and myself and all the things. Do you understand that today? God wants you to engage with him today, because if not, we get in this thing, well, let somebody else do that. Let someone else do that. Let someone else do the children's ministry. Let someone else do the security team. Let someone else be on the platform and sing. No, God's called you to do your ministry. God's called you to keep participating today in the things that, even when you're hurting, because that's the race, you endure. I got a pain in my side. No, you keep running. That's what a champion does. He keeps running today. You may have lost something, yeah, but it's nothing compared to what you're going to gain if you keep going. Do you know that, beloved? I dream again. Have passion again for your life today. Man, John F. Kennedy was this man that said this once about during that same time. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other hard things, not because it's easy, because it's hard. You choose to keep running life because it's not easy, it's hard, but you do it today because it's part of life today. The third principle is this, as I finish up, somebody say, what a finisher.
What a finisher.
And they can say that about us one day, and to God be the glory, but we say that about our Jesus. And we fix our eyes on Jesus today, amen. You can control the focus of your life. I can't control what they did to me and how they, you know, that situation. No, but you can control the focus of your life after the event, after the heartbreak. You can choose what to look at. You can choose where to gaze. And I advise you to look at Jesus, because if you look at man, he's going to let you down, just like my two pastors did. But if you look at Jesus, he's never going to let you down. Do you understand that today? He's going to stay with you today. Amen. And John takes this revelation down from Jesus, and Jesus is talking to him as an older man now, and he gets this revelation because Jesus is talking to him. And I found it in the Message Bible, which is this great devotional Bible, Revelations 22:13. Are you there with me?
Amen.
And Jesus is declaring, and I think he's telling this to Living Faith this morning. Yes, I'm on the way. I'm going to be there soon. This is my Jesus is saying. I'm bringing my payroll with me. Aren't you glad you're going to get paid? It's Friday for a reason. Give me a good amen. I pay all my people in full for their life's work. Look at that, right, everybody? Isn't that incredible? I'm the A to Z. He's better than H-E-B, right, everybody? I'm the first and the final, the beginning and the conclusion. Never miss the urgency of the message of Christ that we got to get it done. We got to get it done. We got to finish this thing. God's given us so much time. The latter is better than the former. Thank God for over 50 now. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. And so it was the joy that was set before Jesus that he endured all the pain. He endured all the cross. He endured the disciples messing up over and over. He endured everything so he could sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he's sitting there for you and I, interceding, and he's even working there. He's hearing your prayers today. Nothing escapes him today. In Hebrews 12, not in your handout, but I declare the word of the Lord over your life today, especially those, this is dedicated to those having a hard time this morning and even hearing it right now, even through the message that we will proclaim later. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured, who's him, Jesus, such opposition from sinners. They kept pushing back on him sometimes, but he kept going forward. So you will not grow weary and what? At each stage of his life, Jesus faced temptation in the desert after 40 days of fasting. And he kept going forward. The disciples betrayed, one of his best friends betrayed him. They left him, but he got beat more than any human being would ever get beat. And he kept going forward. He kept enduring it because he saw you and me today. The joy was you. The joy was me. They're going to make it one day. Are they going to buy into this? I sure hope. No, he had faith in you that you would keep persevering, that you would keep going on. I wish somebody would say amen. 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 So with endurance, I got a grunt, amen, but I'll take the grunt. Even give it. With endurance, let us run the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Give me a good amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mary Jackson in the film, this final clip, she has this great dream that she's going to be this NASA engineer. Up to that point in the movie, she's just the assistant. She's kind of the secretary. She's the go-to girl. Go get me coffee. Go set the appointment. No, one day I'm going to be an engineer. And she can't get past the color barrier. They won't let her go to college. And watch what she does as she approaches the judge. And watch more interestingly, because I don't have time to unpack it so much, about what she does, how she approaches the judge. Let's see the clip. Thank you, Christina.
Mary Jackson, petition to attend courses at Hampton High School. Good morning, Your Honor.
Hampton High School is a white school, Mrs. Jackson.
Yes, Your Honor, I'm aware of that.
Virginia, still a segregated state, regardless of what the federal government says, regardless of what Supreme Court says, our law is the law.
Your Honor, if I may, I believe there are special circumstances to be considered.
What would warrant a colored woman attending a white school?
May I approach your bench, sir? Your Honor, you of all people should understand the importance of being first.
How's that, Mrs. Jackson?
Well, you were the first in your family to serve in the armed forces, U.S. Navy, the first to attend university, George Mason, and the first state judge to be recommissioned by 3 consecutive governors.
You've done some research.
Yes, sir.
What's the point?
The point is, Your Honor, no Negro woman in the state of Virginia has ever attended an all-white high school. It's unheard of.
Yeah, unheard of.
And before Alan Shepard sat on top of a rocket, no other American had ever touched space. And now he will forever be remembered as the U.S. Navy man from New Hampshire, the first to touch the stars. And I plan on being an engineer at NASA, but I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first, which I can't do without you, sir. Your Honor, out of all the cases you're gonna hear today, which one is gonna matter 100 years from now? Which one is gonna make you the first?
Only the night classes, Mrs. Jackson.
Why not be the first? Amen. Why not be the one that you're going? See, you're a hidden figure. There's a story that's unique about you in your life. Every one of you, if I sat down with you today, and some of you I've heard your stories and how you outlasted the devil, how you've endured, and every one of us has a life story in this room, and incredible stories in this room that could fill books, and they could do a movie about you today, about what you faced in your life. And you are a hidden figure in what God. Someone had to be the first one to put the man in space. And we were that nation, and someone had to be the first one. So you got to be that catalyst, as we've named our youth group that. Jacob was the first one that wrestled with an angel. Imagine that. Noah was the first one to hear instructions from God to build a boat. Mary was the first virgin that had a birth impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You may not be able to do that, but you can be Paul. Give me a good amen. And Paul went to unreached people groups called the Gentiles, and he reached them and built churches there. There's something that God wants you to do to be the first. You understand that today? You have this spirit of expectation in your life today because it's God-given, and it's the breeding ground for miracles in your life. So you have expectancy. I'm going to be healed one day. And not that I'm going to die and shrink away as a young man. No. You're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So you aim for the stars. And if you don't hit the stars, at least you'll wind up on the moon. Give me a good amen. Because you aim big today. Why don't you be the first in your family to be the one that forgives? Because everybody else is not forgiving. Why don't you be the first one?
Amen.
Be the first one in your family that serves the Lord. Be the first one in your family that encourages people, not discourages people. Be the first one in your family that stops being an alcoholic.
Amen.
You break that barrier. You break that thing off your back and you say, no one else is going to be an alcoholic after me today. Amen. I'm not going to have that substance abuse in my life anymore. Be the first one in your family that is generous and that serves God and does the things that God is. There has to be a first. Why not you? Why not now? If not you, when? When is it going to happen today if you don't make that decision in your life today? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads and close our eyes, Lord, I pray that you would set a heart on fire to do what they're supposed to do. Lord, there's a seed of your word that's being planted all through this word, and I thank you for the strength of God now. Lord, be their strength right now. I pray, Father, that you would have your way in this room and you would continue to walk with us today. You can't have your first until God is first in your life. You can't really do anything first for God until God is first in your life. Today, this morning, God isn't first, and you've recognized that today. You say, it's not anything, what you're feeling is conviction. Thank God he's not casting us away. You don't want to pay for that, what you're feeling. It's called sin. It's called separation. You want Jesus to pay for that. And if he doesn't pay for that, it's hell to pay. And you don't want to spend an eternity away from God. The opportunity is here right now. Gently knocking Jesus at the door of your heart saying, come, I want you to come. I want to come inside your heart. I want to eat with you. I want to have relationship with you. I want to sit down like a friend would sit down. If that's you in this room today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted slightly as we pray. No one looking around and say, that's me. I want to come close. Jesus isn't first in my life. I've been carrying him around just for emergencies. He's kind of like the spare tire in the back. I have him for emergencies only, but God wants to be first. You recognize that God needs to be first. Would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me, Pastor. Would you pray for me today? God bless you. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it. God bless you. You can put it down, beloved. You're my sisters in the Lord. Somebody else, making sure. Even within the 9 a.m. service, people are responding to the Word of God. That's a miracle. See what you've done by coming, every one of us. You came as someone far away from God. You're already near to God because He sees your heart today. He's saying, I want a good relationship. I want God to be first in my life. Everyone praying this prayer, especially the two ladies of faith that lifted their hands high, you pray this prayer with me. Everyone praying this prayer, all the sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, come on, everybody. Heavenly Father, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your blood, Jesus, removed all my wrong, all my shame. It's removing all my pain. I'm not staying the same. I'm changed because of the cross. Thank you, Lord. The cross just changes everything. Jesus changes everything in our life. Hear that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Set in place, Lord, our hearts. God, thank you for bigger things than a harvest coming to each of our lives in the name of Jesus. All of God's children say amen.
Amen.
Two people receive Christ. Come on. Yeah. Amen. My pastor, Zumal, used to say the angels are partying in heaven. And all we do is kind of look at the Lord like, hey, he's just doing this again. That's what he always does. Amen. Church is all about bringing people to Christ. Amen. Bringing them to a relationship with Jesus. Amen. I pray that you'd get excited maybe for the second service if you stay behind. Give me a good amen. Connection cards are in front of you, especially.